It's our November edition of the Sharks Podcast. I'm Tim Jeffries, chatting with Dan Ruzanowski, the radio voice of your Sharks. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, we're recording this today, being Wednesday. If you're listening to us later down the road, you'll understand why we're kind of making reference. But you're in Arizona today, 5:30 matchup against the Desert Dogs. We love to say that. And then off to Vegas on Friday. Where's the team spending Thanksgiving?
Well, the team is spending Thanksgiving Day, obviously, in Las Vegas. We are going to leave right after the game tonight, Tim, and head straight to the entertainment capital of the world. And the team will have a Thanksgiving meal together tomorrow afternoon at the hotel right near the arena. 2:30 in the afternoon, that's when they're scheduled, so it's a nice standard traditional time. And as far as I'm concerned, though, I'm going to be renting a car, and I'm going to be driving off to Lake Havasu City, Arizona, which is where my cousins live. I've never been there. I want to see the London Bridge, and I'm going to spend some time with them and stay as far away from any of the wild stuff that's supposed to go on in that town.
Is it a big deal that I was looking, what, six of the players are from the U.S.? Canada, they celebrate Thanksgiving, but it's a different date than America, right?
Canadian Thanksgiving is Columbus Day, basically, for Americans. So it's in October. And it's the old joke we used to say, you know, when the Sharks were an expansion team back in 1991, somebody made the snide comment that the San Jose would be out of the playoff race by Thanksgiving. And then somebody made it worse by saying Canadian or American, because that's the first week of the season. But it's an interesting note because the guys that come over and adjust really enjoy Thanksgiving, of course, and we all have a lot of things to be thankful for, so not really a difficulty to try to celebrate that again, and the team will do it together. But having all those American guys on the club makes it even more important and more special, and as far as I'm concerned, it's one of my favorite holidays of the year.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking it's good for team building and morale and all that, having all the players together enjoying a traditional Thanksgiving meal, so that's very cool. So, Sharks have seemed to hit a bit of a rough patch, lost three in a row. They did get a point Monday night, but they lost in the shootout. What seems to be the mood, the team, the coaching staff?
Well, they're very tense a little bit this week, I think, Tim, because they've got very important games. And, you know, looking at the total picture, there are eight teams between 21 and 24 points starting in Thanksgiving week. And so the Sharks got 1 point against the Ducks to get to 21. But there's eight teams basically playing for two wild card spots and third place in the Pacific Division. That's not a lot of margin for error. And, of course, this week they've got two other games against the division, the Sharks playing against the Coyotes the day before Thanksgiving as we record this. And then after Thanksgiving, there's a big game in Vegas. And then, of course, on Saturday is a big afternoon tilt at SAP Center against the Winnipeg Jets, who have had a remarkably good season so far. Not in the division, but an important conference game. This is an important time because, on average, you want to be in a playoff spot at the Thanksgiving Day break, as it were. So the Sharks can certainly do that at the end of November. They want to be in that position. And generally, if you're in that position now, you really are in good shape for the rest of the season, at least to be in the mix, challenging. But I mentioned the eight teams. There's so many teams that are in playoff contention right now that I think we're going to see this race right to the very end of the schedule. So these games in November are hugely important.
Are the Knights still – they started off red hot. How's the record now?
They've come back to earth a little bit, but they're still in second place in the division. But the gap is closed now. They've got 25 points. So right now they're, 4 points ahead of the Sharks. Yep. As we speak. So if San Jose, for instance, wins the two games this week against Arizona and against Vegas, and they do it in regulation, and Vegas loses their game in Anaheim on Wednesday, then, as we record this, then the Sharks will basically catch Vegas for second place in the division. But there's a big swing. They call them four-point games for a reason.
Good insights, Dan. Appreciate that. So six of the next seven games are on the road, five on the East Coast, including Philly, Florida, Tampa Bay, all teams which have beaten the Sharks this season, plus Washington, who can't win in San Jose. There's some interesting side stories on this road trip, Dan.
Well, there are, and I just start with the Tampa Bay Lightning. What a remarkable season they've had under head coach John Cooper. They've got great goaltending from Vasilevsky, but that top line that Tampa Bay has is just so incredible. It's by far the best line I've seen in the opposition this year. But realistically, Tampa Bay is the best team I've seen this season. They just are in sync, firing on all cylinders. And the Sharks have something to prove to them because they got spanked pretty hard back on November the 8th at SAP Center. So that was a 5-1 game. They don't want to see that happen again. And so they want to make sure they're on for that. Then they got a little revenge against Bob Bugner, the old buddy of theirs that came back and got the 2-0 shutout win for Florida. So the Sharks a little bit mad at Florida teams heading into that trip. But let's not forget about Philadelphia either. You mentioned it. They beat the Sharks on opening night, and part of that was the first game of the season. But they're an improved hockey team this year. They've got this kid, Nolan Patrick, who I think is going to be a very good player for a long time, finding his way around the league. And they've got Claude Giroux, who's a big goal scorer. So these are tough teams that the Sharks are facing. The good news is that they're non-conference opponents, so losing in those situations doesn't hurt you as badly for the playoff race directly, because those teams aren't gaining on you. But of course, every 2 points you can get are important. So I think that by that time, the Sharks want to be really more established in the way that they're playing. They're headed in the right direction on the power play. They ended an 0-for-20 streak against Anaheim, which I thought was great news. They've been getting good chances, but just haven't been getting any results. And usually you see teams start to get better before they're actually considered 100% well. And you see teams starting to go poorly before they start losing. The process of getting sick and getting better from the cold and flu season that we have here in the Bay Area this year. So that happens for hockey teams too.
You know, you mentioned Tampa Bay. That's just amazing. How their season's going so far. You know, not only they're in first place, they've scored 80 goals, which is tied with Toronto for the most goals scored in the league, but they've only given up 52, so they're plus 28. That is an amazing stat for a hockey team. If they can continue that play, they're going to be tough to beat all year.
Yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. They're well coached. They've been to the final before as a team in the last couple of years, although they did lose that final. They've lost to Pittsburgh. They've had some very tough playoff runs since they won the Stanley Cup when Dan Boyle was on the team back in 1994. Yeah, back in 2004. Pardon me. So I think that they're well positioned. They've had a good run in their American League team in Syracuse, just like the Sharks. You know, San Jose with the Barracuda producing players for the NHL. That's so important. Tampa Bay's had some of that same thing. So that's going to be fun. And, of course, going to Toronto with Patrick Marleau on the team is going to be interesting, but going to Toronto is always fun. That'll happen in January when the Sharks are on that trip.
I was listening to the game the other night. There were some players on the ice that we don't really hear a lot of. I think it was Barclay Goodrow, Daniel O'Regan, Dylan DeMello. I mean, there's some younger players getting some ice time and showing their stuff, right?
That's right. It starts really with the two defensemen they recalled from the Barracuda this season, Joakim Ryan and also Tim Heath. These guys were the best defensive pair in the AHL last year, and they aren't playing together, curiously, this season in the NHL, but boy, they're providing a lot of value and showing that Roy Sommer and the staff have done a great job. The guys that you mentioned that haven't played a lot, Barclay Goodrow's on the injured list. He kind of hit awkwardly to the ice there against Florida in a little confrontation with Mark Pesek, the defenseman. So he's going to be out for a little while, but they say it's not going to be too long term. He was really doing a great job at center ice. And you got to understand this. He's never really played that position as a pro. You have to go back to when he was a junior player and a teenager when he actually played a little bit of center in Brampton and in North Bay. But other than that, he really hasn't played the position, and he's winning faceoffs and doing all that. That's why it was such a disappointment that he's out of the lineup. Ryan Carpenter has been kind of watching and waiting, but he gets back in against the Coyotes, and I think that's good news. He's a very conscientious person and a very well-trained athlete. He's been winning faceoffs, but I think the Sharks coaching staff wants a little bit more from him when it comes to his grit and his grime going in there and causing trouble for the other teams. He's been very technically sound, but I think they want a little bit more from that grit and grime area. As far as Dylan DeMello goes, he's had somewhat of a disappointing start to the year. He's only played in 3 games, but he is one of these guys that is a total pro when it comes to dealing with the disappointments of not playing. He doesn't mope. He doesn't complain. He shows up at practice early. He stays on the ice late, and he works on absolutely everything that they ask him to work on. So he's going to get his opportunity to play and get his chances to see some ice. We will not see him, I don't think, tonight. I don't think maybe on this road trip. You never know if they decide to go with 7 defensemen when Paul Martin finally comes back. And the good news is that Martin's on this road trip, Tim, so that means that he's much, much closer to coming back than perhaps we thought even 5 or 6 days ago. And that's big news, because his value is huge for the team and their depth and what he provides to the hockey club. So those are a couple of guys you haven't heard from in a little while, but I think you're going to start hearing from a lot more in the next coming days.
Well, Dan, it's always great to catch up with you. I appreciate you taking the time. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in about another month or so, put another podcast up and get caught up with the Sharks. Have a safe trip. I'll try to catch you when you're in town for the one game, but if not, have yourself a great road trip.
Tim, thank you, and I just want to say thanks to everything that you guys at KFOX do for the Sharks as our flagship radio station, and to all of the listeners that catch Sharks hockey on the radio. We really appreciate the fact that you're always there with us, and we want to make sure we encourage you to make sure you're listening to Tim's show in the afternoon on the lead-up, because he plays the best classic rock in the world, and I enjoy listening to it at the rink, so we have it on ourselves and want to make sure that you do too.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it very much.